100th anniversary tour of the Chippewa Flowage. Exactly 100 years ago this week, after the gates of the dam were closed in March of 1923, the rising waters of the Chippewa Flowage, which had been coming up for 4.5 months, finally crested this week 100 years ago. So it's a very historic week here in the Flowage. The winter dam was created to create a uniform flow on the Chippewa River to control flooding downstream and also to assist in the development of hydroelectric power. My name is John Detloff, and my wife Brenda and I own Indian Trail Resort, and I'm now in the process of completing a new book, a detailed history of the Chippewa Flowage, called Whispers of the Past, a history of the Chippewa Flowage. So many of the historical points of interest that I'll be pointing out today will be highlighted in my book, and I'll be pointing them out on this tour. Anyone interested in getting information on the book can sign one of the sign-up sheets in each of your boats just with your name and email address or phone. So without further ado, we just left one of the most historic spots on the Flowage, Treelands Resorts. It wasn't always Treelands Resort, it was Olaf Treeland's farm and sawmill. Olaf Treeland immigrated from Norway in 1906 when he was 18 years old. In 1913, he purchased 80 acres of land for $720 from the American Immigration Company. That was a company that was designed to sell cut-over land that had been logged off to early settlers. Back in 1928, Olaf Treeland sold 6 acres of land on the east side of his bay to Bob Kamak Sr., and that's where Bob Kamak Sr. started Treeland Pines Resort. And some years later, after logging kind of slowed up a little bit, and Olaf Treeland and his wife, Oliva, saw that the resort industry was something to get into. In 1938, Olaf started his own resort on the west side of the bay known as Treeland Cabins. Now off to the east, where I'm pointing over here, is Darrow Island. And Darrow Island's a historic place. That's where Ellsworth and Polly Darrow homesteaded some land, I think it was 80 acres, in 1914. They established a dairy farm there, built a home and outbuildings. Unfortunately, not too many years later, they started hearing rumblings that there was going to be a flowage created, a reservoir, that'll leave their land high and dry up on an island. So before 1922, they ended up moving back where they originally were from, Rock Elm, Wisconsin, and they ended up selling their land to Northern States Power Company for only $500. So they actually were paid subpar. They were paid $5.25 an acre from the power company, and they were paid nothing for their buildings. Generally, the power company paid a straight $8 an acre for land that would be flooded, and they did pay extra for buildings and houses. But in Darrow's case, that kind of fell through the cracks. Those offers were made to both tribal and non-tribal people alike. So generally, it was a straight $8 an acre payment, which was about what it was worth at the time. I mentioned that Olaf had bought his land. There was basically 3 ways to acquire land back then. Is either by direct purchase from one of the land companies, like Olaf had did, or like Ellsworth Darrow, by homesteading the land. And to homestead the land, you had to file a claim and build a house and prove that you lived there for 5 years. And once you proved up on your property, then you were awarded a land patent for it. The third way that you could acquire land here was the tribal members were allotted land. And that was a result of the Treaty of 1854 that promised land plats to various tribal members. And they were just allotted land, usually 8-acre parcels, to adult Indian families. And they were not allowed to sell the land for at least 25 years, and that was designed to protect the tribal members from land swindlers, and it was a very good provision to have. So nobody was able to buy or take away any of the Indians' allotment lands for 25 years. Now around the corner, we're going to be heading out of this bay. And when we make a left-hand turn, you're going to see an exposed ridge of gravel. And that is the remains of the McLeod Dam. The McLeod Dam is a logging dam that was built probably in the 1870s. And the logging dams, they were built on just about every one of the tributaries of the flowage, Moss Creek, Key Creek, Chief River, Pocagama Lake, Crane Creek, all over, to facilitate the driving of the logs down the creeks and rivers. You would build up a head of water and then flush the logs down, and that all made it happen. So most of the logging that took place on non-reservation land was in the early 1870s. Our next stop will be Pork Barrel Island, so just follow us, and we'll be stopping just west of Pork Barrel Island.